well.
You can turn it up a little bit, just a teeny bit. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, test mic.
Rolling?
Okay, I'm recording whenever you're ready.
Let's do it, man.
The song's called Grime.
Hello and welcome to the Sessions at Midori House. I'm Holly Fisher. Lin Ying may be a name familiar to listeners in Asia or to fans of European EDM music. The Singaporean musician has been providing guest vocals for producers for a while now, but 2016 has seen her set out and release her own music, including an EP called Paris 12. She tells us about going it alone in Singapore's music scene, but first let's have some music.
Lily, my lullaby, you sing to me through the thunderstorms. You know you're the first of a kind that's ever happened to me. You've got a beautiful voice, but do you know it's been raining for years now? It's been raining for years now, before you, babe. And I'm not your sacred dove, and you're not in love with me. You're not in love with me, babe. Choking up across the line. I'm sorry that it's so surprising. I wanted you to see me shining. Cocoon, are you far flown enough to see the island to love in a wicked way? There's someone I'm trying to be. And I get so proud, I begin to shout, you're no catastrophe. I said, you're no catastrophe. Do you hear me? And I'm not your sacred dove, and you're not in love with me. You're not in love with me, babe. Tender heathen home of mine, you're lovable in golden grime. I just wanna be wrong this time. And I'm not your sacred dove. I'm not the one you love. I'm not the one you love.
Lin Ying, welcome to the Sessions at Midori House. Thanks
thank
for playing
you.
For us today.
No, thank you for having me.
And you just played your first headline show in London. How was that?
Oh, that was really cool. It's actually my first headline show ever. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've never even done one back home before. So.
Oh, wow. So why did you choose London?
Well, first of all, I really like the city. But also, it just so happened that I not too long ago signed with London-based label, Akira Records, and they've been, you know, very supportive in putting all the music out and crafting a whole plan around it. So, yeah, I just thought it would be quite apt to come to the UK and play the headline show there.
2016 has been a whole year of first for you. You had your first EP out, your
yeah.
first headline gig.
Yeah.
What was the lead up to 2016? What were you doing before then? And what was your big break?
Ever since, I think, maybe about 2 years ago, my first sort of foray into music was just writing and singing top lines for dance tracks. I think that was the first time, like, that's what I would consider my first professional thing that I've ever done in music before. But with these things, I'm not as precious about them as I am about my own songs. I mean, naturally, you know, it feels like I'm just doing math and just writing a song for somebody. But I really enjoy it too, though. So I think 2016 happened, it started in January, like just a day after New Year's. So it's quite momentous that the song that I released earlier in 2015, it's called Sticky Leaves, it went viral on Spotify globally in the US and in the UK. And it kind of came out of nowhere, so I didn't think it was a big deal at first until a few days later, and then, you know, it set in, and then everything started buzzing and going around. And yeah, and ever since then, it's just been one thing after the other, and it's really cool, though. This song is called Sticky Leaves.
Is there another world you know? Until you burn. Tell me how it goes. Yeah, I will learn. I'm keeping a rigor on the snow.
Say that it went viral around the US and the UK. Have you found that you've had more of a following outside of Singapore rather than in Singapore? Because I know before you released your solo stuff, you worked with a lot of European EDM producers.
Yeah.
Have you found that that's led you to have maybe a bigger following within Europe?
Yeah, I think especially because the beginnings of it were a lot of European music, and that the songs went viral outside of Singapore. It's been a good doorway for for me to get out of Singapore, get the music out there. But in Singapore as well, people have been really supportive and receptive to it. But I think it helps that, because in general, Singaporeans, the way they consume music is largely affected by what kind of music trends are going on outside of Singapore. It's very, the import culture is really strong. So I think all that kind of played a part. And so with these areas in Asia and out of Asia, it's all been very good and it's been working together nicely.
And you say that the import market's really strong. What about the export market? Because I know that I was having a discussion with another music broadcaster recently about how, certainly in Japan, they have a very strong music scene within Japan, but you never really hear much about it outside Japan.
That's right.
What about Singapore? Because I think you're the first Singaporean person we've ever had on the Sessions at Midori House.
And
we don't often get offered people from Singapore. So how easy is it to break out of Singapore? Or is it easier to be successful outside of Singapore?
So the biggest thing is that there has never been a precedent, I think, for what the right way is to kind of get out of the country and into English music, especially because English music hasn't been very big in Singapore up until, you know, the last 10 years or so, where, you know, lots and lots of acts just started slowly getting together. And yeah, and because before that, the only Singaporean music successes were singers and acts who sang and performed in their mother tongue languages. So it was never really with English music. And so I think everything's new for everyone, all these new Singaporean acts. You know, no one knows what the trajectory is, like what the expected, you know, milestones are. So everyone's just going on different routes and breaking different boundaries. And it's a very exciting thing to see.
Is it a good place to make music? Are they quite nurturing of people trying to do things within the arts? What's the support like?
Well, I think because Singapore is such a new country, in the beginning, a lot of the focus was on education and, you know, basically trying to turn the country into a, you know, financial, economic kind of hub, right? And with the arts and culture, it's only quite recently that they've started paying more attention to these things now that we've got the rest pat down. So, yeah, so everything is pretty new. So I wouldn't say it's the most nurturing of places, but because the community is so small and because it's still not so common in Singapore to want to make a living out of the arts, then I think that's the reason why the community is very strong and, you know, there's a lot of solidarity for one another within you know, people who are like-minded and who want to pursue these career options.
And taking it back to the music, I know you put out your EP this year called Paris 12.
Yeah.
And it's quite different to the music you were making with all these producers beforehand.
Yeah, worlds apart.
It must feel really good to finally get your music out there. Were you nervous?
Yeah, I was really nervous. So, I mean, I think I mentioned before that writing for other people is just a totally different experience. And I mean, for me, and at least for the songs on this record, a lot of them are very cathartic for me. They're very emotional and they're a way for me to put the feelings into like an accessible form, right? And because they're so personal, I mean, I guess it's just natural that you would be a bit more, you know, guarded and precious about it. But I personally feel like that's what I've always wanted to do with music. For me, the songs that have impacted me most are the ones that have made me feel like I'm more understood and that the experiences that I go through are universal. And, you know, I mean, the probabilities are just so low that you can connect with somebody else on the exact same level and be on the exact same page. And that's why art is so necessary. That's why poetry and films and music are so important. And I think that's the reason why music has always been so big for me as a listener, as a music consumer. And I just thought it's just a nice feeling to hear people tell me that my songs have meant something to them, or, you know, and that they've gone through the same thing and I've just put into words a feeling that they've had but weren't able to express. And it's just a very fulfilling thing for me.
This song's called Alpine. Sorry to see you go.
Oh, cavalier, don't you keep me near? Am I only kind? Am I only dear? Cherry Hill, I don't look a thing like that. You know that I never have. You know that I never will. This alpine breeze, at some point it just got easy. Could you ever displease me? Honestly, leave it be to make my pitiful peace that I was something else before. Giddy in the morning, tearing through the columns at the grocery store.
Listening to the sessions at Midori House, and today's performer was Lin Ying. Her EP Paris 12 is out now on Foundation Music and Akira Records. She's been touring across Europe, Australia and Asia and still has a couple of dates left this year, so check out linying.live to find out if she's going to be playing near you. This show was produced by me, Holly Fisher, and mixed by Alex Funnell. Join us again at the same time next week when American gospel punk rockers Serotones will be in the studio, but for now, thanks for listening.
The only lullaby.